Hey, it's Joyce. Every week, I have the chance to chat with an interesting, inspiring human and to share that conversation with you. Join me as I walk and talk with entrepreneurs, adventurers, and all sorts of people who are working hard to empower women and make the world a better place. Now listen, this is not some highly polished, formally produced podcast. It's just two humans out for a walk with the chance to learn from each other. So lace up your sneakers, head out the door, and join us.
Hey everyone, Joyce here, welcoming you to today's Walk and Talk, where you are going to enjoy, I hope, basically a continuation of a conversation I started with the fantabulous Renata Joy several weeks ago. Renata is a mom, she's a grandmother, and she's the founder of Pure Joy Wellness, which is a community-based lifestyle brand focused on helping women over 50 improve their lives through fitness, nutrition, and self-care. She is a former Emmy-nominated television producer, and she started Pure Joy Wellness to help encourage and teach women about the importance of taking care of themselves and how to regain their health, revitalize their body and spirits, and do that at any age. She is a proud 65-year-old who I think will share that she really feels that she's living her best life right now. Fair enough?
Fair enough. I'm going to take you around with me everywhere to do my introduction.
Love it. So tell us a little bit. So in your bio, you kind of go from like TV producer to women and wellness advocate. Share with us a little bit how that transition came to be. What inspired that change?
Well, I think that change actually started when I was a kid. And I grew up in a household where my parents were very ill. My mom, who had been diagnosed with polio when she was a child, she had arthritis really bad. And my father had kidney failure. And so they kind of talked about going to the doctor like you and I would talk about, like, yeah, let's go get a mani-pedi. Something about that seemed really strange to me, and it really scared me. And I equated their lifestyle with their health problems, and I didn't want to be like that. So as a child, I studied everything about nutrition and exercise. And keep in mind, this was before women were really exercising. This was pre-Jane Fonda, pre, you know, all of that. And my family thought that I was crazy.
Yeah, but can I interrupt you for a second? Because I'm really curious about how you made that connection as a child. Where'd that come from?
I don't know where it came from. I just knew that I didn't want to be sick. And I looked at, you know, the way that my family was eating. And I refused to eat the food.
I'm sure that went over big, right?
well, they used to tell me that, you know, like I was dropped off at a house from another planet or something. But but so it was crazy. But somehow I knew. So I always exercised, and I only ate fruits and vegetables. And my mom was really supportive of that, though. Like my mom and I used to go to the farmer's market every Saturday, and I would get all my fruits and vegetables, and she didn't try to curtail me from not eating the way that they ate. She actually encouraged me to go on my own path.
So
when I was in television, I still lived that lifestyle. Like I'd go to work at 4 o'clock in the morning. This was my schedule. I go work at 4 o'clock in the morning. I work for 2 hours. I go to the gym. I go home, take a shower. I pack my lunch. I come back and work. And so everybody knew in television that I was really into this health and wellness thing. So when I decided to leave TV and go into health and wellness, like no one was surprised.
So interesting. And when you made that shift, what was your vision for Pure Joy? Was your vision kind of the same as it is now, or was it sort of, this is the path I need to explore? I don't know where it's going to take me.
Well, I didn't know where it was going to take me, but I knew that my passion was eating healthy, with exercising, with being pampered. And I really wanted to make that a part of teaching other women how to do that as well. So I grew up in a generation where women exercise and eating healthy was not something that women did. Like when I was in high school, in junior high school, if you participated in sports, you were considered to be a tomboy. It wasn't a feminine thing to do. So when I was like in my 30s, when I first started lifting weights, I was working at this television station and this guy comes up to me and he goes, you know, you really would do yourself some good if you lifted weights. And I was like, what's lifting weights? I'd never heard of lifting weights. So he takes me to this gym. It was this down and dirty gym with chains and weights and wrestlers and bodybuilders. And the first time my hands touched those weights, I felt so much power.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my God, what is this? And one of the things about the weightlifting, it totally, first of all, I was this really, really skinny kid and I always wanted to gain weight. Weightlifting changed my body. Lifting weights changed my body. I am 65, soon to be 66 years old. Because I lift weights, the structure of my body has not changed. I'm still wearing clothes that I wore like when I was in high school and college.
So I share that passion for lifting weights with you, and I also discovered it actually when I was, I guess, 19, and also had that moment of like, oh, I love how this makes me feel. I assume that you have come across some resistance to resistance from other women. I think weightlifting still has a little bit of a bad rap.
Well, I think in the beginning I did. I don't think not so now. And I say that because of the age that I am and the way that my body looks right now. But I don't want to focus so much on the way the body looks as much as why it's important to be healthy. So the thing about lifting weights for me at this point is to keep my body strong, to keep a lot of muscle mass, keeping mobility and flexibility, and all of those things are so crucially important for me to being able to walk, to be able to bend down and touch my toes and stand up, to be able to move. And that to me is what the most important thing is.
And your personal practice, I think, actually mirrors mine quite a bit, because you also have a passion for walking. And for me, it's walking and weightlifting. And as you know, climbing ropes from time to time. But how do we encourage more women to be willing to add some weight resistance training to their practice, really at any age? Because I do think, and I've had this conversation with my mother so many times. So my mother's a retired professional dancer, and mm-hmm. she has never picked up anything heavier than, not mm-hmm. stereotype, but anything heavier than a laundry basket, right? And it's just, she just doesn't understand that kind of movement. How do we, first of all, is it ever too late?
I don't think it's ever too late. I mean, I've been lifting weights now for a long time. So I lift really heavy. But I think we're in a society where women are taught, like, you're supposed to be this delicate little thing. And if you lift weights, you're going to be bulky. You're going to look like a guy. You're going to look like all those things. I think that if people saw me, they would not think that I looked like a guy. I think
that is for sure.
I don't think so. I think that it's crucially important, especially as we get older, for your bone density, that you lift weights. Now, is everyone going to lift as heavy as me? Absolutely not. But heavy for each particular woman. And
exactly.
I think when women understand the benefits of the longevity of what it is to actually add muscle mass to their bodies, then they won't be afraid to lift heavy weights.
I'm curious about something. So I was recently doing some research in the last couple of years around protein needs for older people, older women, older men. And my assumption before I started doing this research was that you need less protein because you're building less muscle. And it turns out that that's not true. So I'm curious, if you don't mind me asking, like, how much protein do you eat and where do you get
it? Well, I can tell you something.
Renata, I'm asking for a friend.
Like most people will say, I crave sugar. I crave, you know, this. I crave protein, seriously. My body is like, goes nuts for protein. So I consume quite a bit of protein because I know that that protein is really important in terms of maintaining my muscle mass. And it just literally, my body's like craving, I need a chicken breast. And I know that sounds crazy. It sounds crazy, but it's literally true. My body craves chicken. My body craves fish. My body just craves protein. Now, it also craves vegetables and things like that too, but protein is the main source that my body craves.
Yeah.
And to maintain my muscle mass, I need that.
Yep. So it's a lot of fish and chicken and also vegetarian protein sources for you?
I do eat vegetarian protein sources. My diet basically consists of chicken, fish. I do eat tofu. I eat a lot of beans, lentils, and I crave eggs. Anybody that goes with me to a restaurant, they're like, they already know what I'm going to order. Like, I'm such a creature of habit. I order the same thing all the time. I go to a restaurant and they'll say, well, what are you going to order? And everybody doesn't understand. Oh, she's going to have the branzino, or she's going to have the salmon, or she's going to have the, because that's what I eat.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And it is a little bit about learning to listen to the cues that your body is giving you, because people say that they crave sugar, but I do feel like if you really pay attention, and this is one of the things that I've seen over and over again, and I think one of the benefits of a walking practice or any kind of regular intentional exercise and movement practice is I believe that it heightens your ability to hear the cues from your body. Right. When you go out and you move, you come back from that and your body's going to ask for different things. Is that your experience?
Yeah, I look at walking and running for me is very meditative. Like I'm not I don't meditate like sit there and but walking and running does that for me. So here's what happens when I first go out for a walk or run. The first 5 minutes, my body's saying, like, why am I out here? I really don't want to be out here. What's happening? Why are you making me do this? And then there's a shift that happens, right? And when that shift happens, all of a sudden, my body's kind of doing its own thing. But my mind is doing something different. My mind is solving problems that I have, and I didn't know how I was going to do this. And then the answer comes to me. I'm paying attention to, like, how does my body feel? Are my hips feeling tight? Is this happening? All those things are going through my head. What is it that I need to do? And every now and again, my mind comes back to my body. Oh, yeah, we're doing this walking. We're doing this running thing. But also I notice what happens when I walk is I notice things that I don't ordinarily notice. Like, I notice how many water towers there are in New York City.
Yeah.
I was walking the other day and I was like, when did Gandhi show up in Union Square? There was a statue of Gandhi in Union Square. I'd never seen it before. I've been in New York City since 1994. Been in Union Square a gazillion times. Never noticed Gandhi there before. So I think walking brings about an awareness, not only of your surroundings, but an awareness of yourself. And if you're paying attention, you hear what's happening. I like to say this saying, it says, when you quiet your mind, you can hear yourself. You cut out all the noise. And that's what walking does.
And for some of us, it's really hard to get into that place, as you said, sort of sitting still and breathing deep. I need to be physically moving in some repetitive kind of way to tap into that space.
Yeah, I'm a mover too. That's why walking and running does that for me. It puts me in a meditative state, because I'm not a sit still kind of person. Because then I'm thinking, like, why am I sitting still? I'm supposed to be breathing. I'm supposed to be doing all these things, and I can't do. And when I'm moving, that's kind of my groove. You know, that's my thing. My body likes to move.
So what do you say to people who don't share that, who don't feel like that's their thing? That's sort of part one of my question. And let me give you a second part of it, because I think they're super related. You said that it takes you 5 minutes to kind of get into the groove. And that first 5 minutes, your brain and body are sort of going, like, why are you making me do this? And I often say that I think motivation is garbage, because I think we think, like, we're supposed to wait until we feel like doing something, until we're, using air quotes, motivated to do it. And sometimes, in my experience, the action comes first, right?
I often say the best workouts I've had were the ones I didn't feel like doing. So, during the pandemic, when everything was shut down, and I was trying to figure out, you know, how can I service the Pure Joy Wellness community? Oh, we're going to start a walking challenge, because you can do it social distancing, you can get outside, you can get, you know, those kinds of things. And so I decided all I was going to ask them to do is to walk for 30 minutes a day for 30 minutes straight. That's it. And in the beginning, when I was thinking about that, I was like, people are going to go, this is nothing. What is 30 minutes? Like, anybody could walk for 30 minutes. What I discovered was that in New York City, which is where I live, I walk everywhere. I very rarely take the subway. I very rarely take a taxi. I just walk. That's just, you know, part of being in the city. But women in other areas of the country, that wasn't the case.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to get used to what it felt like to move your body. And I like to say that walking is one of the easiest things that you can do. And if you give yourself at least, say, 10 minutes, if you start with just 10 minutes, you'll get through that first five. There will be a shift. The shift is going to happen. The body loves to move. We were meant to move. We're not meant to be stationary. If you think about the formation of human beings, they all moved. They were hunters and gatherers and all those things. We weren't meant to sit down all the time. And I think once people get accustomed to, at least my experience with our community, I had this one woman who had never walked before, and she was telling me how she, her daughter lived in a fifth floor walk up in Chicago. She couldn't walk up one flight of stairs without having to stop. By the end of those 30 days, she was basically running up those stairs. All because she committed to walking for 30 minutes for 30 days. It's like anything that you want to be able to do. It's like when I want to build my quads, you know, the consistency. It builds the muscle. The more you do it, the stronger you become. So if you get into a practice of walking, just daily, it could be 10 minutes, 15 minutes, just get out and move. You'll be surprised at how much better you actually feel. And the body understands what that movement is.
One of the great things about it, and your story points this up, is I think it surprises many people how quickly their bodies start to respond, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess here's the issue a little bit, like, for people who are wrestling with a big weight loss goal, and there are a lot of those people out there, that is daunting. That feels like it's going to take a year, but the physical response to moving that happens really fast. And from what I've seen, the people who tune into that feeling and realize that in a month, in 2 weeks, you can, in one walk, you can start to feel that impact.
But yeah, but here
that's the beauty. Yeah.
Here's what I say to all of my clients. I was having a conversation with a client yesterday in terms of setting these massive goals. I don't set massive goals. I set a teeny tiny goal. Like, okay, I'm going to promise myself that I'm going to go out for a walk 2 times a week. Okay, if I do more, that's great, but I'm only going to promise myself to do 2 times a week. I never advocate to focus on the outcome of something. I only focus on that little mini step that I'm going to do in this present time. Because if you continue to do those little mini steps, the outcome will come, but I'm not focusing on the outcome because the outcome seems too overwhelming for me.
Have you always been that way? Have you always focused more on the journey than a specific
goal? No, of course not. Of course not. Of course not. I'm a girl. I've been obsessive. I could take you through my fitness journey where I was like, you know, oh my God, we'll have that conversation another time. No, through my 65 years, I've learned that. Anytime we set massive goals, you got to break it down. Because otherwise, I had a client say, okay, I'm only going to eat vegetables for the next 30 days. Okay, I know that's not true.
Right.
Because it's not sustainable. So you have to be able to set a goal that you can actually do. Like, I'm going to walk around the block after dinner every day. Okay. Once you get used to doing that, you're going to start feeling good. You're going to start walking a little bit longer. You're going to start walking a little bit faster, but you're not going to say, I'm going to walk 5 miles a day. You've never walked before. It's not sustainable. What happens is then people feel like they failed, they're a loser, they're not good at anything, and then all those voices, and then they quit. Little, teeny, tiny goals is what you set. This is why only 30 minutes. If you have to break it down, 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, 15 minutes here, 15 minutes there, nothing major. It's the tiny goals that lead to the biggest outcomes, not setting that enormous thing.
And the other piece of that that I always advocate against is the always never. Right? Or the everyday. I get so concerned when I hear people in the 99 Walks pack who say, I'm committed to walking every single day because I know something's going to happen because that's the nature of,
That's what I'm saying. That overreaching because you're going to fail.
And you're going to fail.
That's your excuse to stop.
Yes.
Right? People utilize that. I'm a failure. I can't do this. This is not for me. This is for other people. They utilize that as an excuse to stop. I challenge every single person that's on this call. If they set a little mini goal that's obtainable, they will succeed. I challenge everyone to set that tiny goal and see if that doesn't work for them. It's those little habits, the little habits, not the big ones, it's the little ones that matter. Something that you can do consistently and that you can do, you know, consistently doesn't mean you're going to be doing it. You necessarily have to do it every day. I don't lift weights every day, but I consistently lift weights 2 to 3 times a week. I don't stretch necessarily every day, but I make sure I do Pilates or yoga or something like that 2-3 times a week. And then I take a rest. Sometimes I'm tired.
I want to change gears. I hear you. I want to change gears for just because we only have a few minutes left. And now I have 2 questions, right? So the first is, a few weeks ago, you posted on your social channels a quote of yours, "Today I choose joy." And that struck me because I wanted to ask you, how much of joy do you believe is a function of choice? How much influence do we have on how we feel?
I think it's all about choice. I know that's hard for a lot of people to believe. Like, joy is a part of my name. So I feel like that, you know, I have to live up to that. But I do feel like everything that we do is about a choice that we make. I know it's hard for people to believe that. We're making choices every single day. I can make a choice to feel bad. And sometimes I do. Sometimes I feel bad. I recently lost my partner 17 years. Do I wake up and feel bad? Do I grieve that? Yes, I do every single day. But there's a part of me that knows that I have that choice that even when I'm feeling bad, to make myself feel better by saying going out in nature and going for that walk. It's a choice. I can make a choice to sit here and not do anything, but I also have that choice to do something that makes me feel better. So what makes me feel better? I like to jump rope, makes me feel better. I like to listen to music, makes me feel better. Get into something that changes that headspace. And it's hard. It's hard sometimes. I'm not going to say it's not hard. It is hard. But every day we are making choices. It's our choices that we're making to keep us where we are.
And I'm so sorry that you're going through this season, and I'm so sorry for your loss. And I think something that I have tried to wrap my head around over the last couple of years is actually the idea, and this is going to sound sort of weird, maybe, you can be sad and happy at the same time, or you can be sad and joyful. Maybe that's a better choice of word. You can be heartbroken and joyful, and those two things are not necessarily entirely mutually exclusive. Is that a little bit of what you're saying?
Well, I think that's true. Like, I am grieving right now, but I also take a lot of joy and pleasure in thinking about, you know, all the fun and good times. So it's not like I'm wallowing and, oh my God, I'm just grieving. Like I said, it's not that things are not hard, but I can make a choice in wallowing in it, or I can make a choice of doing something that's going to make me feel better. And that could be a lot of different things. It could be going for a walk. It could be seeking therapy. It could be talking to a friend. It could be anything that's going to do that mind shift, right? That's what I'm going to do. So I do believe that everything we do, we're making a choice. I'm making a choice to go and work out. I could also make that choice not to work out and have my body feel like crap. I'm making a choice to eat protein over eating that donut. That's a choice that I'm making. One is going to make me feel this way. One is going to make me feel that way. The donut might make me feel good, you know, short term, but long term it's not, right? So I think if we think about the choices that we make on a daily basis, we are constantly making choices. And so I choose, as I used to say when I would feel down and out, my father said to me one day, he goes, "Do you know your last name?" I'm like, "Yes." He's like, "What's your last name?" I'm like, "Joy." He goes, "That's right, you're a joy." So anytime I feel like I'm down and out, I hear the Rocky music going, "Don, da, 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 da." I'm a joy.
I love that you have to live up to,
right?
Hey, and you have your internal soundtrack. Listen, so one of the joyful things I think you're choosing to do, which I don't understand at all, so I want you to explain it briefly, is you're doing a tour of New York City via jump rope. What is that about?
I started that during the pandemic when everybody thought New York is gone. Nobody wants to be in New York anymore. The city's not going to survive. And I needed to, I was sitting for a while myself, right? Like, what's this way around my tummy? All of a sudden, God, I got to go out and take my jump rope. So I started going out and I started jumping around the landmarks of New York City to show people that New York is alive. And then I decided, you know what? I'm going to jump rope around and give a tour of New York City via jump rope. There are two reasons why I wanted to do that. One, I wanted to show the city was alive, but also when I was a kid, what we used to do is me and my friends, we'd be out in the middle of the street and we're jump roping and we're double dutching, and you'd hear your mom say, "When those street lights come back on, you better come into the house." The laughter. If you think about it, if I close my eyes and I listen, the laughter and the fun and the joy was so infectious. I jump rope now at 65 years old. I never want to forget that feeling. So I always say to everybody, think about what you did physically when you were a child that just brought you so much happiness. Not just that you're thinking about, you got to go do it, that just brought you so much happiness. Some people it's hula hooping. Some people it's roller skating. Some people it's riding, whatever that is. Go back to that and recapture that fun, spirited, joyfulness that you had as a child. Because as an adult, we lose that. So I jump rope because it reminds me of what it was like with my friends in the middle of the street, and we're laughing. We're not thinking we're exercising. We're just having fun.
We're That's just playing and having fun.
Yeah, just play. That's it, just play. So I do twofold. I get to play and I get to show off the greatest city in the world.
And you get a little bit of exercise in there. And jumping rope is awesome. I love to jump rope. So anytime,
you
know.
We have to jump rope together sometime.
For sure. I think that would be so fun. You know, we should do like a little, so even if we're not, or if we can do it even before we're together, we should do like a little social media something of you jumping rope someplace cool in the city
and you climbing rope.
I can climb it or I can jump it. We didn't talk too much about Pure Joy Wellness, and we're really out of time, but I want to be sure that you share a little bit about what the business is all about and how people can get in contact with you if they want to learn a bit more.
Okay, so Pure Joy Wellness is focusing on women over 50. And the reason that I wanted to focus on women over 50 is because as women get older, we're sort of left out, right? Women are afraid to tell people how old they are because they're afraid of being rejected. When I went through menopause and my doctor told me all I had to do was eat less and exercise more, I tried to talk to women about it. No one wanted to talk about it because it means that you're old. So I was like, wait a minute, I'm not old. So I wanted to start a community that supported other women and offered solutions for each other. So I started Pure Joy Wellness to empower women with a community of like-minded women, information, a lot of education via newsletters and podcasts like this one, blog posts, social media engagement, tips on exercising and healthy eating and skincare. I'm a skincare fanatic. That really encourages women over 50 to really put their health at the forefront, because we weren't taught that as kids. We weren't taught that. That wasn't part of our thing. And also women get a personal interaction with me and other wellness experts like you. And we talk about and do the benefits of things like walking, and we do, you know, I recommend products and all of those kinds of things. It's not easy. Necessarily getting older, a lot of things happen. Like I said, I just lost someone that comes along with when you get older. Mm-hmm. But I really want women to understand that getting older is something you want to do, because the alternative is not much fun. But you don't want to have your life flip upside down. And all it takes is some lifestyle changes to have a high quality of life for as long as you can. And that's my goal. It's not necessarily to look a certain kind of way. I got to have a six pack abs, even though I do. But that's not.
I was going to say, that may not be your goal, my friend, but you look fantastic.
No, but I'm just saying. I'm saying that. That's not the goal. But the goal is for women to be healthy, to take control of their health, and to make sure that as long as we are here on this planet, that we have a high quality of life. That's it. That's
beautiful. And if people want to find you on social and find more information about Pure Joy Wellness, where we will have all of these links in the show notes,
yeah,
but go ahead and share them just for the people who are out walking.
We have our website, www.purejoywellness.com. All of our social is at Pure Joy Wellness on Instagram, on Facebook, on LinkedIn. So all you have to do is just go Pure Joy Wellness. And we are getting ready to launch our signature membership group. We're calling it the Pure Joy Squad. We are growing. We are glowing. We are owning it. Kapow!
Love it. We will, again, share all of those links, and hopefully you and I will continue our conversation and continue to find ways to collaborate, because we certainly share a very common mission. So thank you so much for spending some time with me and the 99 Walks Pack today. It was truly, not to be a cliche, but truly a joy. So thank you for being here.
All right. I appreciate it. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you for joining us for today's Walk and Talk. Catch new episodes featuring inspiring guests every week in the 99 Walks app and all the places podcasts live. Until then, I wish you happy trails.